Matthew 6, and we'll begin at verse 9. Jesus said, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. The third petition of the Lord's Prayer is focused on God and His glory, like the previous two. When we pray this petition, "Thy will be done," we're not praying first and foremost about our needs or our wants. We're praying for what God wants. And if you belong to Christ, if you are God's child, you will want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or at least you'll be growing in that desire. You'll be growing more and more to want His will to be done. This petition is about obedience to God's will. The Shorter Catechism says about the third petition, it says this: "In the third petition, 'Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven,' we pray that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things as the angels do in heaven." Isn't that a great thought, an interesting thought? The angels in heaven. The angels in heaven, they know and obey and submit to God and His will in all things. They don't struggle with it like we do. They just submit to God's will with all their hearts. It's not a chore. It's not hard work. Their hearts are in it. They don't have sin like we do, pulling us in the other direction. I just try to imagine being like that, like the angels in heaven. You're a parent. Try to imagine your children obeying like that, like the angels. No complaining, no grumbling, no disobedience, no delaying. Or imagine running a business with employees like this. Employees like the angels in heaven. Everyone would be on time every time. They wouldn't be lazy. You wouldn't have to keep an eye on them. They wouldn't be stealing. They'd just be sincerely joyful people, eager to work under the Lord, to work with excellence. What a group that would be. It might sound a little bit silly, but when we pray for this petition to come to pass, we're really asking God to do that in our lives. We're asking Him to make us like that. We're asking Him to make us like the angels in heaven, so that we can serve God that way, so that we can serve Him on earth as the angels do in heaven. We're asking Him to do this in our lives. We're asking Him to do it in the lives of others as well. We're really asking that God would make the whole world to be obedient to Him like the angels in heaven from the heart. Sounds good. Now, in one sense, God's will is always being done perfectly. God is sovereign. He's in control. He's all-powerful. He made the world and He rules over every inch of it. He's working out His purposes. Psalm 135, verse 6 is such a great verse. It says, "Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps." If you read the rest of that psalm, you get a picture of what that means. God is causing his will to come to pass in all things, like the weather. He takes care of all people. He takes care of animals. He causes the rise and fall of nations and rulers. The true God is sovereign. He is working out all his good pleasure. And because of this, because he's like this, we're told to praise him. Praise this great sovereign God who works out his will. He is not like the idols. Idols cannot do anything. They're powerless. But the Lord causes his will to be done perfectly. And even in this sinful world, God is working out his purposes. He's working them out to perfection. And we don't understand how that all works out when we see all the things that are not perfect in this life. But he knows what he's doing, and he's working his purposes out. He also causes his will to be done in the plan of redemption. God has willed to save his chosen people. And not one who is chosen will be lost. His will not be thwarted in this. Ephesians 1 tells us that God predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And we're also told that we have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's what this God does. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. That is a sovereign God. So he's causing all things to work together, to work out his will. He's causing all his saving will to be done for all his chosen people. He will bring all his chosen people to full salvation in Christ. And he will not lose even one soul that the Father has given to him. Jesus will not lose one. And again, we are to praise God for this. Praise him for his sovereignty in our salvation. Praise him for his working out his will in all things, and especially in our redemption. But there's another sense in which his will is not being done. Yes, he's carrying out his purposes. He's working out his eternal decree in the big picture and in the smallest details of life. But God's revealed will is not being done as it should be. And that should be very obvious to us. God's revealed will for man is what we find in the Scriptures. He has told us what to believe. He has told us what to believe concerning himself. He has told us what duty he requires of us. But man has not obeyed God's will. That's why we're praying this petition. That's why we are taught by Jesus to pray this petition, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for this situation to be changed. We pray for this disobedience to God's will to be changed, starting with us, with ourselves. Ever since the fall, human beings have been born in a sinful condition. Sinful by nature. And in that state, in that condition, we don't care what God's will is for us. If left to ourselves, we would walk away from God's will completely if it wasn't for him intervening. We want to do our will. We want to be free from God's will. We only really care about our own desires. We don't come into this world saying, "Thy will be done." We come in saying, "My will be done." And it takes a miracle to change that. May God help us to see the wrong of that, the evil of that self-will. It really is treason against the maker of all things. Think about it. All that we are, all that we have, is a gift from God and his great grace. He gives us everything that we have. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He upholds us every second of our lives, every atom of our bodies. And we use that life and that strength that he gives us to turn around and deny him and slap him in the face. We want to escape from his good and perfect will. We want to throw off his will as if it's a ball and chain that enslaves us. That's the natural man. That's the sinner's normal natural inclination. And even as regenerated people, people who are born again, people who know the Lord, we have to overcome this attitude. And so often we are still just plagued by it. And we come to God in prayer with a very willful attitude. We come to God and we just want him to do our will. And we need to learn to do otherwise. It's really not the way we should be coming to God in prayer. We ought to come to him very humbly, recognizing that his will is always what is right, and it is always what is best for us. You can come to God and ask him for whatever you wish, but always have that in mind, that the Father knows best what you need. We also need to recognize what an absolute wreck, what a catastrophe our lives would be if God just allowed our will to be done. We don't even know what we're asking for when we ask for what we want. And I look back at some of the things that I prayed for in the past, and I'm very thankful God didn't give me what I asked for. And I'm sure you could think back to some of those things as well. And I'm sure that in the future, down the road, maybe 10 years from now, you'll look back and think, man, I was praying for something back in 2019. I'm so glad God didn't give me that. That is not what I needed. It's what I wanted at the time, but it's sure not what I needed. Because he had better things in mind. And we're very short-sighted. And we are very much, our thoughts and our desires are still tainted by sin, and we're ignorant. We don't know what's coming in the future. We really don't know what we need. We don't know what's best for us and for others. And we're really pretty arrogant about it. We think we know what we need. We think we know what's best. Man, we're so far from really being able to know like God knows. Realize that God, in his omniscience and his purposes, he knows far better than we do what is best for us. And he is infinitely good. And he is perfectly wise. He knows what you and I need far better than we do. And his will for our lives is what will ultimately bring us the greatest joy, the greatest happiness, the greatest blessedness and usefulness in his hands. So we really need to praise and thank God for this petition that should really humble us, and it should really teach us to trust him and to submit to his will and to his wisdom. He is perfectly wise and perfectly trustworthy. And the more that we learn to trust him and submit to his will, the more we will find it to be good. The more we will find it to be the very best thing for us. Think about these angels up in heaven who just do the will of God perfectly. They're not up there in heaven in misery. They're not up there complaining and discontent and wishing they could just get out of there and do what they want to do. No, they are the most happy, praising creatures of them all. Those who do God's will most perfectly and submit to his will, they are those who are filled with the most joy. This is something that we really need to learn. God help us. We need to think this way about our obedience to God's revealed will, to God's will that we find in the Scriptures. Sometimes we struggle with it. Often we struggle with things that we find there in the Scriptures. The devil lies in telling us that submitting to God's will is going to be terrible, that it's going to make us unhappy, that it's going to make us discontent, that it's going to bring us into bondage. That is an evil lie. That is an assault on God and his goodness. And it's an assault on us. That's the same lie that Satan used in the garden that brought the whole human race into real bondage, bondage to sin. He basically told them, you're going to be in bondage to God. God's made you a slave. If you want freedom, rebel against him. Then you'll find true freedom. Rebel against God's will. The truth is, submitting to God's will is what we were designed for. That is what will truly set us free. God's will is good and good for us. It is perfect, and it brings peace, and it brings joy, and it brings every blessing to the heart of those who learn to submit to it. The more we determine to bow our wills to his will, the more we will be happy and content and learn true freedom. Horatius Bonar had a beautiful way of describing the freedom that we have when we submit to God's will. He used an illustration of the planets in their orbits. He said, obedience to God's will is liberty. Compliance with God's will is harmony, not discord. Just as it is with the stars and the planets in the heavens, so it is with us. Obedience to their ordered courses is not simply a necessity of their being, but also of their liberty. Let them, and he's speaking of the planets in their orbits, let them try to snap their cords and choose for themselves the unfettered range of space. Then not only would order and harmony be gone and beauty be gone, but liberty would be gone as well. For that which keeps them in freedom is obedience. And non-departure from their appointed orbits. Again, thinking of these planets. If they disobeyed their orbits, if they tried to break free from them, disobedience to these, departure from these, would bring about immediate collision of star with star and the end of their happy motions, and the extinction of their joyful light, havoc and death, star heaped upon star in a universal wreck. That's what would happen if the planets could break free from their orbits and just go their merry way. Of course, his point is that that's what our lives are like when we rebel against God's will. And Satan lies. He promises that we're going to have liberty and that we're going to have true freedom and happiness if we just rebel against God and his will for us. But what we end up with is only ruin and death and wreckage. Don't believe the lie. Trust that the God who made you also knows how to bless you and to direct you in the best, happiest, freest way. And that way is the way of submitting to his will. Now, the sad reality is you look at the world today and the human race has already become that universal wreck because that's what everyone has done in sin. They've burst the bonds. They've gone off like those planets, like billions of planets, just breaking their orbits and destroying themselves. And we see the wreckage all around us in people's lives. And in our natural state as sinners, that's exactly what each and every one of us would do. That's what we're doing when we reject God's revealed will for us in the Scriptures. And the truth is, in our natural state, we're not even capable of trusting and submitting to God's will for our lives. The natural man can't do it. He couldn't even pray this prayer, "Thy will be done." That's why we need a Savior so much. We need Jesus. He's the one who came to do this that we could not do. He came to do God's will. His coming into the world was all about doing the Father's will. He came in submission to the Father's will. And his whole earthly life was all about that. Jesus was always fully submitting himself to the Father's will. Think about his life. His whole life was a life of obedience, a life of submission. And he was always pleasing the Father. The Father even testified to that and spoke from heaven. Jesus considered it his purpose to be doing the Father's will. On one occasion, he even said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And that work that the Father gave him to do was the work of our redemption. And he finished that work. He finished it by obeying God's revealed will perfectly. He obeyed God's law. He was born under the law, and he fully obeyed the law. And he did that for us who could not. And he suffered also the law's penalty. The penalty for lawbreakers, for those who could not and would not obey and submit to God's will. Jesus did that in our place. Remember that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed. He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The Father had called Jesus to finish that work of redemption. He had called him to drink the cup of God's wrath towards sinners. But because Jesus was also fully human, he didn't want to suffer and die any more than any of us would have. But his death would be far worse than any ordinary human death, because not only was he facing physical death and a terrible, shameful, torturous physical death at that in the crucifixion, but he was also going to be bearing the full weight of God's wrath toward our sins. And Jesus wrestled with that in the garden, wrestled mightily with it. His will in that moment was to hope and pray for a way of escape. But he submitted his will to the Father's will. And he allowed himself to be handed over to wicked men, to be betrayed, to be put to death on the cross. If you were standing there on that day at the scene of the crucifixion, it might have been very hard to understand how that could be God's will. God's innocent, sinless Son being hated, betrayed, crucified, and dying. This is the greatest injustice the world, the universe, has ever seen. I hope you can see now how Jesus' death was the fulfillment of God's will. God the Father wanted Jesus to suffer and die in our place and for our sins. And why? It's because he so loved us. He was willing to slay his own Son so that we might be saved, so that we might be brought back to his presence, that we might be given eternal life and be blessed forever, that we might be brought back, as it were, into the orbit of God's will and living under his will for us. And that's exactly what he's doing in our lives now as believers. He's redeemed us so that we might grow to be like Jesus in giving ourselves over to the Father's will more and more all our lives, obeying his will, submitting to his will, living out his will in our lives. That was God's will that he was accomplishing in the work of Jesus Christ. So knowing that God's will for you is so very good and so very loving that he was willing to give up so much, to give up his own son to this worst injustice, this worst suffering and death and wrath, also that you and I could be saved and blessed forever. Does that not help you to trust that his will for you is good? Does that not help you to trust him? Does that not help you to pray this petition sincerely? Lord, thy will be done. What could be better for you than the will of this good and gracious, perfectly loving God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we long to be like those angels in heaven who do your will perfectly, who don't question it or buck against it. We long to be like them. Lord, we pray that you would set us free from sin. We long for that. This is not a petition that is only about you and your glory. It is that, but it is also our greatest need, the need for our souls. It shows us what we were designed for. It shows us what our orbit was meant to be, that we were meant to live and move in. That is the orbit of obedience to you and your will. Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts this obedience and this submission. Subdue our hearts to your will. Bring our wills into conformity to your good and perfect will for our lives. We pray that you teach us to know with all our hearts, Lord, that obeying your precepts is what will bring us our greatest joy, our greatest fulfillment, our greatest freedom in this life. Sin only leads to misery and discord and destruction. But submitting to your will leads us to freedom and joy and peace. Help us to believe this, Lord, and help us to walk in it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.